Sure. Thanks, Dallas. I think what I'm going to cover at this point in the presentation is the SEC's whistleblower bounty program, because I think it's important for everyone to understand that whistleblowers have been such a fertile area for agencies to get their information about cybersecurity issues. They're one of the best sources of information. And so the SEC and other agencies realize that, and they're increasingly doing whatever they can to try to encourage and protect whistleblowers in recent years. So the SEC is trying to right now make it a lot easier for whistleblowers to come to them than when Michael was blowing the whistle, you know, back in 2006 and 2007. And so they're doing that in particular through the Dodd-Frank Act that was passed in 2010. And that contains significant whistleblower incentives and protections to try to get whistleblowers coming to the agency with information that the commission can then use to prosecute firms. So there are several different whistleblower provisions in Dodd-Frank. There is Section 922, which creates a whole SEC whistleblower scheme, and that includes a bounty program and also anti-retaliation provisions. There is Section 748, which is a whole whistleblower scheme for the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. And then there's Section 1057 of Dodd-Frank, which is an additional anti-retaliation provision for individuals who make reports involving consumer financial protection issues. So for purposes of today, I'm primarily going to focus on Section 922 and specifically the SEC's whistleblower bounty program, although I'm happy to answer questions about any of those Dodd-Frank provisions. And I may refer to the bounty program as being under Section 21F as opposed to 922. I use those interchangeably. Section 21F is the section of the Securities Exchange Act where this SEC whistleblower program is codified. So under Section 21F of the whistleblower bounty program, whistleblowers who provide the SEC with original information based on their independent knowledge or analysis about violations of securities laws will be awarded a share of between 10 and 30% of monetary sanctions ultimately imposed by the commission when they exceed $1 million. So essentially, if someone blows the whistle to the SEC and the SEC is successful in collecting over $1 million, then that whistleblower will get between 10 and 30% of what the sanctions are that are imposed by the commission. So far, there has been over $176 million in bounties paid to whistleblowers, and there's been over $1 million in sanctions and other remedies imposed by the SEC. So it's considered a very successful program. For all the talk about repeal of Dodd-Frank, we haven't heard anything about repealing the whistleblower provisions in particular. It has pretty broad bipartisan support because it's essentially self-funded with recoveries from the wrongdoers. So the SEC has been getting increased numbers of tips every year, thousands of tips, since it's been collecting in 2012, starting in the range of 3,000, now over 4,400 a year. So it's been over 20,000 tips altogether from all sorts of whistleblowers. And so where are these whistleblower tips coming from? Each year, they're coming from all 50 states, and maybe surprisingly, over 10% of the tips are coming from outside of the U.S. from non-U.S. whistleblowers. That could be employees or other individuals in China, Canada, the U.K., Australia, many, many other countries, over 70 countries where these whistleblower reports are coming from on essentially an annual basis. And so we've been focused on cybersecurity, and a lot of the cybersecurity-type concerns can come from IT professionals, but they can also come from compliance and internal audit and all sorts of employees within an organization who may be aware of password issues or sloppy tracking of computers or whatnot. Now, all of those individuals could theoretically be eligible for bounties under the program if they decide to take their concerns externally to the SEC instead of reporting them internally. And in fact, the majority of people who have gotten awards from the SEC who are current or former employees say that they did, in fact, report internally. So you have, in terms of the profile of the current award recipients, 63% of award recipients were current and former employees of the company. And most of them, 83% of them, claim that they reported internally first. And so what's happened here? You know, it sounds like a situation that Michael went through, you know, which he discussed earlier in his remarks. These are situations where people did report internally, and there was a chance to do something, But nothing was done, and so the whistleblower went external to the SEC and brought a whole lot more trouble on the company than perhaps could have been if they had just paid better attention. And so we're going to later in the presentation talk about some best practices in light of these statistics. What should companies be doing to handle these properly internally so that whistleblowers don't go to the SEC in search of multi-million dollar bounties? So in addition to the internal current and former employees, who else are these bounty recipients? Who else are, is reporting companies for cybersecurity and other issues? Some of them are company contractors or consultants, and so it's important for companies to make sure that to the extent that there are employees of contractors or consultants that may have concerns, that they can report those concerns directly to the company. And also investors who are built or by schemes, also professionals in the same industry. So sometimes you can have competitors that learn some information about you and that then report them to the SEC in order to get bounties, but I'm sure also to increase their competitive advantage over your company. And one thing that I've seen, and Dallas, I don't know if you've had any cases like this, but I've had several, where there are independent bounty hunters. There are people out there who are spending their spare time looking for dirt on companies to report to the SEC to try to get bounties. And I've had more than one case involving independent bounty hunters having nothing to do with the companies they work for, but on their own time trying to find weaknesses and intentional misconduct at companies that they can then report to the SEC. Another thing go ahead, Dallas.
I was just going to add that we do see that in our practice as well. It's an important point about the SEC program. You don't have to be an insider. I think the first external reward to someone outside the company was made recently, and we're increasingly seeing it, especially with the development of more sophisticated algorithms that are allowing external people to analyze various data points and then compare those to public filings. I wouldn't say it's a predominant part of our practice, but we're certainly seeing it more and more.
Yep, absolutely.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
This is Michael, sorry. So one, and maybe it's not relevant, so I'm interrupting for no reason, but part of the thing that occurred to me was my case was in two parts, and one of them was dismissed because the other side convinced the judge incorrectly that I had public knowledge. And at least in my case, or back then, a whistleblower has to have firsthand knowledge of things that are not in the public domain. Is that not the case here, or are these external parties considered to be insiders and not getting public information?
That's a great question, actually, and completely relevant. So under Dodd-Frank, it's original information based on independent knowledge or analysis. So what these people are relying on is independent analysis rather than independent firsthand knowledge. And so that's an alternate basis for getting a bounty under Dodd-Frank that may not exist under other law. And so that's what these people are doing. They're independently analyzing and coming up with a new analysis that's just not been in the public domain.
Which could be from information in the public domain, correct? Because otherwise they
absolutely
might not get it. Okay,
absolutely.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. And another important point about what the SEC is doing right now in order to encourage people to go to them and seek bounties for exposing unlawful behavior is that they are taking very strong action against companies who try to muzzle employees from going to the SEC. And they've taken a pretty aggressive approach in terms of what constitutes muzzling or preventing employees from going to the SEC. The SEC has conducted sweep investigations of companies looking at all of their severance agreements and employee handbooks and other policies, looking for anything such as standard confidentiality language. And many companies have in their handbooks and in their confidentiality agreements that you will not share documents or other information outside of the organization, and that you could be terminated for doing that, and that you won't disparage the company, and that you could be terminated for doing that. And the SEC's position is that you can't just have a provision like that unless it has a carve-out making clear that while you may have to keep things confidential in terms of trade secrets, not expose them to competitors, nothing we're saying in here has to do with reporting to the SEC. That's always allowed. So our clients have had to go back and edit all of their standard agreements and forms and letters and policies to make sure that all of their confidentiality policies have carve-outs to say, although we're telling you you have to keep this trade secret stuff and other company information confidential, nothing we're saying here is intended to impede you from communicating directly with the SEC with any concerns you have about possible securities law violations. And you don't need the company's permission before doing that, and you don't need to tell us that you're doing that. And so company policies essentially need to say this, or else the SEC could take issue. And it's taken issue against several companies just in the last couple of years, imposing fines on them. And that's even when there was no evidence that anyone was actually impeded from blowing the whistle to the SEC with these with this language. Just having the blanket language was enough for the SEC to find violations of its rule. And that's Rule 21F17 under Dodd-Frank. It's not part of the law of Dodd-Frank. It's part of the SEC's own regulation. And they've taken a very, very strict approach to that. And it's an effort by the SEC to make sure that that companies are not going to try to prevent this fertile ground for you know, for whistleblowers to come to them with valuable information that they need to stop securities law violations. And related to that, the SEC has also taken this upon itself to start prosecuting, investigating and prosecuting retaliation claims. And for many years, anti-retaliation claims, that was really just in the field of employment law. And so it's very new for anti-retaliation matters to enter squarely into the securities industry with a securities regulator investigating and prosecuting itself anti-retaliation claims. So the SEC has now entered a couple of settlements with companies where it found that companies retaliated against employees for making reports to the SEC. And in one of those cases, it conceded that there may not have even been merit to the underlying report that the whistleblower was making. But that doesn't matter. There only has to be a reasonable belief. The whistleblower can be wrong, but the whistleblower is still going to be protected from retaliation, and not only in a private lawsuit, but if the SEC finds a problem, then you have a bigger problem, essentially, because the SEC may come after you for retaliation, even when there's no merit, potentially, to the underlying complaint. And so, Dallas, do you want to discuss some of the other anti-retaliation provisions that apply and protections under Dodd-Frank and Sarbanes-Oxley and some of the other laws?